It's another Friday afternoon, and it's another garden podcast. Anything you need at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. In my company today is
Michael McGarr.
Michael, you came to my attention because I was at RHS Tatton Flower Show. I passed by your garden, stood and watched it, admired it for about 35 minutes. For those of you listening at home, by the way, press that middle button on your iPhone. Send me now at Sideshow on Twitter, or we'll get Michael's details out to you throughout the show, and go check out that garden. Because the comment that I made was that it wouldn't have looked out of place at Chelsea Flower Show. Let's skip past the garden just for a little bit and we'll come back to it. Who is Michael McGarr? What do you do?
I'm the lead garden designer at Warnes McGarr & Company. I've got a background in ecology, so a lot of our style is based on strong ecological principles and sustainable practice in garden design. What we've got and what we've created here at Tatton is a dystopian, futuristic view of how we could possibly be gardening in 100 years' time.
So let's separate that question or that answer, just backtrack ever so slightly. Who are Warnes McGarr?
We are a practice, Robert Warnes and myself, Michael McGarr. We've been working together now since 2011, which is quite a long time, just when I think about it. And we've been coming and exhibiting at Tatton for the past 3 years.
You strike me that you've, well, in Ireland we'd call it Tiernan Og, which is the land of everlasting youth. I mean, I'm a good looking fella, but you look, well, number one, smarter dressed than I ever probably will do. But you're a young man who has his own practice for 7 years. And for all of the people that I know and all of the things that Sideshow and Donegan Landscaping has done, there are a lot of people who like the idea of having a design practice, but it's another thing to do it, love it, and absolutely love every second of it, but also be able to, let's be frank about it, pay the bills.
Yeah.
You seem to have cracked that one quite well. Is that a fair comment? You get where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I think what we're focused on is the fact that we're working on a passionate, intrinsic level about the things we want to achieve. As a practice, this has developed over a period of time, and the clients that come back to us and refer us onwards can see that we hold a passion for what we do, and like yourself has picked up and you can see what we've achieved here. And part of this is, again, yeah, it's our love for wanting to create and build fantastic spaces.
What's your backstory? How did you get into doing what you are doing? And if you don't mind me asking this, but like, what age are you?
I'm 34.
So you went out on your own as a design practice when you were essentially 27. I was about 3 years ahead of you, if that makes any sense. So it's actually not that young. But the comment that was made when I went out on my own was, is this your dad's practice? And I think one lady said to me, you need to grow a beard and you need a woolly jumper. And I kind of went, okay. Right. Does that ring with you?
Yeah, it does. And I think the main focus for us was at the beginning, where we weren't afraid to get out there and work on a level. Although we have a practice now and a lot of it is project managed, myself and Rob are very hands-on, and we have been from the beginning. We were out there, we were building ourselves, designing ourselves, and there's nothing that would get from under our noses, basically. And that allowed us to stay small, but again, create things that people wanted to see, you know, outside the properties. We've always been hands-on, and I think that's been one of our biggest strengths. We've resisted the temptation to grow and have lots and lots of staff, but the core group that we work with all have a common goal, and it's working on an intrinsic, passionate level.
When I look at your garden at RHS Tatton, and let's take this just on a slightly different level, but also on the show garden level. On one hand, you can turn around and say, well, it's a show garden, it's not for real, but I know I would happily have this in my own back garden. That's the first part of it. When you start as a design practice, it's quite difficult to go out and do a, shall we call it, a Sex Pistols and, you know, sail down the Thames and play God Save the Queen. In context, not everybody's going to like it, where if you do a we're running with a music analogy here, folks, but if you run with a, let's say, a Westlife, and we all dress in the white suits and brush our hair to the left, then you maybe sell more Ed Sheeran-esque vinyls, if that makes sense.
The music analogy is perfect, and I think this is what we realised at the beginning, that you can't be everything to everybody. And a lot of the guys who are involved with the company, I have a music background, and what you realise is that you can't make a piece of art for everybody. And when you're brutal and say that I'm going to create these things that working and from a passionate level, from the heart, and you create that, you need to be one thing to one person, and that one person becomes two people, and that it's the group, it's the tribe that Seth Godin talks about in his fabulous book, and that's what we're looking to create. Be small, be different, be specialised, create your own tribe.
But do you get the point that I make, though, when you start out in business and you're going, right, let's get our first client, and you turn around and say, well, I'm going to build you 2001 A Space Odyssey,
yeah,
as versus an Eden at Blyton, to pick a different variation of an analogy maybe, but it's harder because you're picking from that smaller core of a customer group, and it is a little bit that grapple between what keeps you in business,
yeah,
which you've obviously done quite well for 7 years, albeit, yeah, and again that play from the heart. Did you have that difficulty in year one?
Of course, yeah, and I think the main thing for us, going back to what we said earlier, I've always been hands on. I'd love to get in there, and I was interested in garden maintenance on a very. We used to pick up the early clients, and it was just very small consultations, going out there, working with the plants, cutting hedges, you know, cutting grass, and that's how you get into the industry. And you, as a designer, you've not got to be afraid to do that side of the job, you know, to develop your company. And I think that's where the ones that don't sort of succeed, they're not afraid to get in there and do those things at the beginning. And I found that when I studied garden design as well, there seems to be this penchant for people coming, oh, well, I was an accountant for 20 years, now I'm doing garden design. It's never been like that for me. I've always seen it as a career. I would put food on the table. I would go out there, I'd get in there and cut the grass, you know, cut the hedges, and show people that you have the knowledge and the passion. And once that comes out, then you have a business. And that was what we weren't afraid to do right at the very beginning.
I had a conversation with a girl about 6 weeks ago, and she said to me, you know, Peter, you said you're living the dream, is what she said to me. And I felt like taking out a Jim Carrey in the mask, invisible rubber mallet, and hitting her very gently. It's a fictitious hammer, folks, if you're listening to this. But, you know, the whole living the dream thing in the horticulture. And when I took a stand back, I was saying, yeah, on one hand, I guess I am. On the other hand, there's never the riches, I guess, in the monetary sense that are there, maybe in a horticultural level. Maybe it's just for me, or maybe it's just how I do things. But I don't play golf, and I don't have the expensive. I've had a Ferrari, I'd want a tow hitch on the back of it. Maybe that puts it in context. In your game, do you think that you've made it a little bit when you hear the feedback from the garden that you built at Tat?
Yeah, of course. And there's nothing better than sort of getting that recognition from your peers, and I think that is the biggest thing to take forward from it. You know who you'd like to emulate in terms of the people in the profession. The guys that are judging you essentially at an RHS show, these are the people that you've admired from day one. When you get into the job, you read the books, you know, you look at the blogs, you look at the magazines, you know, this is the stuff that you want to create. And to get that recognition back, you know, to get that peerage and to get that it's just fantastic. You know, that's what drives you forward.
At 34 years of age, do other garden designers younger and older than you look up to you?
I don't think I can't say that I've noticed anything so far. I mean, it's great to think that we're all part of this same profession, you know, and that camaraderie. When I first did the first show, the great thing was, you know, you realise you've come home when you do one. You know, I always thought that I'd never get the chance to do it. When I first started, I thought, one day it'll happen, and I wasn't proactive. And when I started to do it, it was hard work. But you know what? I loved it. I know everything about it. Coming into the show, doing the working through 2 weeks solid, you know, meeting like-minded individuals that were creating great things. And being part of that, it's just such an addictive process. Some of the young guys who are doing the young designers, the other side of the showground, it's fantastic. You've got the big show, you've got the big show gardens, and you've got the back-to-backs. There's such a range, but everyone has got that common goal, the love of the profession and wanting to create something fantastic.
Let's change this ever so slightly. We go quick fire round. Last piece of music you bought?
Deep Shade.
Right. Well, that says a lot because I've no idea who that is.
They're a very small local band. Fantastic, edgy, grunge, local, Manchester, fabulous.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll get a piece of that music, if it's possible, with their permission, and we'll play the end of the show out with that.
Great.
I've got a thumbs up on that one. We'll have it with their permission. Last music gig that you went to?
The OCs at Manchester Academy.
Last T-shirt or piece of clothing you bought?
It was a sun hat that I now dislike immensely.
Why?
My hat, I've got one of the smallest heads known to the humankind, and making it distinctly unsuitable to any form of headgear.
I know. We're heading into the interview that I did with Anne-Marie Powell, if you haven't heard it, the 2017 one. Well, in fact, the one from 2016 as well. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that one. It's a real barrel of laughs. We'll skip past that. Your favourite food?
I would say a vegetarian tortilla.
Wow. Have you got brothers and sisters?
I've got one brother, the chef in Greece, and a sister who is a teacher.
Are you the favourite son?
I am. Can you tell why?
I don't know, because I've got this thing with, obviously there's the mother and the son thing, and don't get me wrong, we used to joke about my younger brother, Daddy, if he set the house on fire, Mum would have turned around and said, look what your brother did for me and your father, why couldn't you do that? Do you get that?
Yeah, I do get that. And there was one thing that I used to be quite brutal with my brother in terms of matching up pound for pound in a fight. My grandmother always used to tell my brother to stop running into Michael's fist. So I was definitely the favourite.
When you got into horticulture, what age were you when all that happened?
Well, I had a background in ecology, and that's what I studied initially, and I loved ecology. I was never going to go into research. I loved the art side of creating something, but I didn't get an outlet for it in ecology. So that's where garden design hit me, and this was sort of 2006, and decided to go back and retrain as a garden designer.
Did you do it as a kid? Did you goof around like, okay, we're into sideshow bingo here, did you do the plants under your bed thing on top of the wardrobe? Were you at that level? Did you grow your own stuff?
No, and what my attachment to the landscape initially was just trying to find any river, stream or watercourse and play around in it. That was my earliest memories of being outside and just wanting to play in the outdoors. I loved it. I thought that was, I'd sort of come home on the school holidays, go out on the bike, a piece of rope and a watercourse, and I was happy for weeks. That was my sort of attachment to the natural world. It was only planting came later, sort of in my late 20s, really.
But we hear such and such wants to bring in a government initiative or a schools initiative or a initiative nonetheless, which is essentially funded by X, Y or Z, and it's to encourage children to play in the great outdoors. And I have very vivid memories of, inverted commas, older people looking out the kitchen window saying, what's Peter doing down the back of the garden? And my mum going, leave him alone, he's fine. And now, I've no idea what I was doing. I could have been playing with halfway to a Jason Byrne joke here, but I could have been playing with a stick and a rock. But I was grand just diddling away, yeah, goofing around, sieving soil or whatever the case may be.
And I think the thing with that is that everybody does have a connection with the earth, and it's about finding that connection. Everybody has, like say you were happy down the bottom of the garden and I was happy just to get out and get into the brooks and the watercourses of just around my parents' house. And I think people and kids do have, everybody's got this this intrinsic connection with the earth, and it's gardening's a great way to find it. And it is sort of seen as a stuffy old person's hobby. If that's where people, a lot of people see it, and I think there is, people have to see that there is a connection with the natural environment. I think that's the biggest thing for children. And I think everybody's got it, and it's just about finding it. And it is broad, and it does cross generations. It's our job to sort of help people find it.
Here's this in a nutshell. I would look at you, if you were, all right, I'm hesitant to say this, but in how it's going to come out of my head, that is, but if you were a poster boy for horticulture, I mean like an invisible poster, if I walked past your garden at 16, 15, 12 years of age, and here's the thing, and I saw you standing there, it would encourage me more to get into horticulture. I guess my head will turn around and go, well, how do you get the young person into the show?
Yeah.
First of all, number one, how do I get them to walk past your garden? Number two, then I see you there. But at 34 years of age, you're a pretty funky, smarter dressed fella than I am. You're most welcome. You know, I mean, you've got a bit of Jarvis Cocker going on about you, if you don't mind me saying, but I'm a huge fan of Jarvis, so that's a compliment. But you do that quite well, and it's almost effortless on your behalf. That's not to say that the wheels aren't turning at a million miles an hour behind the scenes. It's effortless to the outside, and that makes it cooler again. And you can't get any better than that. That's two steps away from John Travolta walking down the street in the high heel shoes, knowing that he is the Don.
Thank you. And I think yeah, it's important that everybody sees this at the end. Everybody sees the show garden. Everybody sees the designer. Everybody, but it's understanding that it's that you stress of enjoying to create something. Nobody sees the background. You didn't see me a week ago covered in the crap, you know. And that's what it's about, you know. It is polished at this end, and you've got to enjoy that process. You've got to enjoy the dirt, the stress, the grime, the blood, the guts that go into it. But at the end, you've got to enjoy polishing yourself up and enjoying being at the front and being that front man for your company. And I do love that. I do love that. Again, the music analogy, it's like being a front man. You know, you've got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. And then you've got to enjoy it.
You look at the music scene and look at, let's say, the Jarvis Cockers of this world and go, that guy is a legend. I need to translate that ever so slightly into a horticultural sense, and it's a difficult one to do when we go back to the comments that were made to me as a 10, 15 years ago, starting out on my own, when it was, you don't have a beard and a t-shirt, you know. Yeah. You take a 32 inch waist and a jeans, you wear a white t-shirt, you're a cross between a Westlife and a lead singer for the Stones, but you're still just a wee young pup. Horticulture isn't that. Do you take those bits out of there and go, we're going to rock and roll this place up?
Yeah, and I think that's important. You know, the fact that that's what's coming from the heart. I mean, I've always felt rock and roll. You know, you want to be rock and roll, and it's something that I don't think I could do it any other way. You know, now we're getting a chance to create a rock and roll garden, and that's what it's about. You know, I couldn't do anything else if I tried. You know, I'm searching from the heart.
I built a garden in 2008, which was a 33-foot-long pleasure cruise boat painted bright pink. There's a story behind that, which is that the boat was actually 1957. If you want to know that, you can call to my house. I'll make you a cup of two spots coffee and we'll talk about it there. However, whilst the garden ended up at Electric Picnic, coincidentally the year the Sex Pistols headlined that festival, and I was there, and the boat was opposite the main stage, that garden received equal amounts of criticism as much as it did applause.
Yeah.
And there were obviously little bits in the middle. Do you, it's not to criticise the people who come to Tatton, and it's not to criticise your HS, but you're allowed to not like, I don't know, the Stone Roses' latest album, should it ever come out, and you're allowed to compare it to the only one that they ever really did that was extremely decent, let's call it that. But do you get those equal amounts of criticism and applause on the 2017 garden?
You do. You get it. It is equal. And I think the important thing, again, is that you're doing something that is close to your heart. And it doesn't matter then. It doesn't matter. Going back again to the band analogy and the music, you know, if you create music for that one person to love. It's not for everyone. You can't be everything to everybody. You just need to be that one thing to one person. And that's creating the beginning of that tribe. You know, you can be a small group and a small tribe and you're only that one thing to that tribe, and you can't do anything else as long as it's coming from the heart.
I spoke to Andrew Wilson and Gavin McWilliam at Chelsea, and I'd had Andrew on the show probably 3-4 times already. He's judged my gardens, but the first time for them together. And I asked him the question of working in tandem as a duo. And essentially the crux of the question was, do you at times, to use a Father Ted line, want to box the head off each other every now and again? Does that happen?
Of course it does. Of course it does. And I think that is part of a strong artistic process that creates... Good can only come of it. Good can, in the same way that siblings will fight, you know, you still have that love for each other. You do want to rip each other's head off at time, but that is part of it. And through that sort of destructive relationship comes some great creativeness. You know, that's what it's about. If you were to just go on a singular route on your own, there's only going to be one outcome. That partnership, that's what creates great things. It's celebrating the differences, you know, in a partnership, like in any relationship, you know, that helps you succeed.
One of the questions I asked Gavin was, he said, if I remember correctly, you'll have to go back and listen to this one, it's in iTunes, etc., etc., or just send me a note at Sideshow on Twitter, I'll send it on to you. He said, you know, it was because we loved what we do, and it's how from the heart, and essentially lines like that. And I said, that's absolutely fine. Paul McCartney said, people used to say, myself and John used to sit down together and write songs because we loved music. Myself and John used to regularly sit down and say, let's write a swimming pool. Do you two do that?
We do. I mean, we've always been close, you know. We've worked together for such a long time. And again, I think we could have created anything. And I think it's always worked for us. You know, we've been close. We've had tough times, you know. That's part of being, again, part of being a partnership. But I think as long as we were always working from the heart, you know, we've always had that common belief, you know, you can go one way, you can go the other, but you always tend to come back together at the end.
Year one in business as Donegan Landscaping, it rained solid on my first May for 5 weeks non-stop, pretty much 40 to 60 millimetres per day. On the day I was due to start my third job,
yeah,
I remember sitting in a rented place that I can only suggest had the cheapest rent in North County Dublin, and you can picture that as you see fit, and it would be appropriate. But it did make me bang my head off the glass and say, what the hell have I done? You mightn't have had the rain, but based on the 7 years, you would have hit a lot of the, as Ron Finley called it, the depression, what I called the R word that we don't say on the show, we don't do the negatives, but you would have had the financially worldwide tough times. How did that hit the business? There's a lot of people in here listen maybe to this, the younger designers who are saying, he's the dude that I want to look up to, but it is that rocky road. Did you have a plan on how to get through there? Did you fare through that okay? Because maybe you were a little bit, as my mum would describe me, a bit unique.
Yeah, I think in the start of any business, you know, you set off on a certain route, and the main thing is that you're doing something that you love and you're passionate about, but all of a sudden the commercial pressures happen. You know, as soon as you're doing the thing you love, then all of a sudden you've got a business, then you've got to think about accounting, you've got to think about cash flow, you've got to think about all those things that make a commercial business. And then the danger is then that you sort of get pulled away from doing the thing that you're passionate about, and you go into looking at accounts in detail, profit and loss sheets, the rest of it, and this is where your business can actually suffer then. Although this is completely necessary to have to do these things as part of a commercial enterprise, the danger is then that you're not creating, you're losing that thing that you were good at, that connection with creating great, fabulous spaces, and you're going into business territory. What we've found is we've had to adapt to that and get people on board that are brilliant at managing things, that are brilliant accountants, brilliant PR, brilliant assistants, you know, so you can continue to create fabulous things that you set out to do right at the beginning. Those things are massively important as part of the business, but there's nothing more important than creating those unique spaces that you're passionate at doing right from the very beginning.
Do you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, you are the man, You are the man. Do you know who you are? Of course you do. Let's go down and have cornflakes together. You and your reflection. You're that cool.
I do that every single day. You missed out the bit about saying I'm a tiger, which I often do at weekends as well. But I actually scream that quite loud. I'm not going to do it here just in case it upsets a few of the people who are walking around. But yeah, I've been known to do that.
I don't know whether to take you quite seriously or not seriously at all. You seem to have a Dylan Moran wit about you, if you don't mind me saying, which is pretty close to Jarvis Cocker's style of wit as well, to be fair.
Thank you. That's something I've worked on.
What's next for, I guess, the duo as a design practice? What's the next step? Because all jokes aside, that comment that I made about this being this garden at Tatton being good enough for Chelsea is, it's not a joke. It's not plumossing you to put an Irish spin on it.
No, I mean, we are looking forward to the next thing. I think Hampton Court's been discussed. There has been talk of looking at Chelsea, but we're always looking for the next thing, the next exciting thing to do. I think we've achieved everything we wanted to achieve this year. The next 3 months are going to be looking at how we can do something great for the next one. So,
if people want to get in touch, do you do the website thing? Do you do?
Yeah, you can get us at Wands McGar. Always difficult to spell that one, which becomes a difficulty in itself. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter, the usual channels. Yeah, go for it. Look us up.
I think that's WARNES, isn't it? Yeah, I have that right. Okay. If you're listening to this iTunes or iTunes and Stitcher and all of those guys, or head to sideshow.com, anything else you might need. And if you're on the road, you know, don't even stop this thing. Just let it play on. Send us a note afterwards and wish the lads all the best. In the meantime, Michael, thank you genuinely so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for your time also.
All right, we're going to play out with Michael's favourite band. I should let you introduce them, do the ladies and gentlemen thing, and we'll play it out from there.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we have Deep Shade. So I go riding down this avenue into the town. Yeah, we once knew, and still I ride.